Good morning. Today, we journey through a scripture that quickly propels us from being with Jesus in the peace of Sabbath to a disruption of it, to a healing within it, to a fight among it, to rejoicing all together. When I hear this scripture, I love the healing. I love imagining this woman who has been suffering for 18 years. Find relief and release at the hands of a miraculous stranger. As humans, we know in our flesh what it is to suffer. To suffer something in our minds, our bodies, or our souls. To suffer pain long and drawn out, or short and sudden. And no matter what it is like, we know our human bodies and spirits cannot bear endless suffering alone. We know that if we bear the pain of life, at some point we need the healing, love, and support of God and of our community. We know that having a witness and sharing in our pain itself can feel like healing, if only in the relief of no longer having to bear it by ourselves. So when I read the scripture today, I love the healing. Not because I think there was or needed to be a total transformation of this woman's physical flesh and embodiment, but I love it because Jesus, a person in her community, recognized her suffering and was moved by it. That in witnessing her pain and how unbearable it was for her to be in alone, he disrupted the Sabbath to hold that pain and heal it together. If you didn't know, the healing in itself is not disruptive, but the healing work on the Sabbath is, and it's received by the community and its leaders as a bad thing. The other leaders point him out and call him out because they are carrying that legacy all the way back from the Exodus story of when their people have been delivered out of the murder and torture and pain of enslavement and are refugees in the wilderness. I can imagine that then they are scared, traumatized, hurting, and in pain, and Moses, at God's direction, gathers them among growing booms of lightning and thunder from the rolling clouds, and the trumpets blare, and God says, "I am your Lord God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You will show steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse my name. You will remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord God. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and consecrated it." So this is the ancestral memory happening for them. Right up there with don't murder, don't steal, and don't abuse one another, all the ways that humans are inclined or forced out of circumstance to harm each other, we are reminded to choose not to, and we are told by God to rest, to be with one another, to be with the holy, to be in religious community, and that these rituals of stopping and praying are so important for us as mortal beings that God commands it. Now fast forward to this moment in Luke, and we arrive over a long swath of time, interpretation, shaping and reshaping the communal understanding and enforcement of what it means to keep the Sabbath. Different scribes, teachers, and leaders in the community have defined and redefined, questioned and answered the specificity of the Sabbath, of what it means to work, of what a burden is. And I imagine that, again, there's that flesh memory of a God who told you to do this right as your life and the very being of your community and people had been saved. It is also an act, an identifier of who belongs in a group and who doesn't. And we know that that belonging or unbelonging, your life can really depend on it in a community. And then here is Jesus, holy and disorienting, fierce and tender, turning everything about observance and rules, empire, social order, everything about who belongs and who doesn't on its head. He is disruptive and healing. He is a healing disruption. He does not say that observances or traditions of the community are wrong. He simply sees someone that is in so much pain and unbelonging for an unbearable amount of years and allows a sense of connection that makes it unbearable for him too. So it can't really be the rest and joy and peace of the Sabbath as usual for him, as long as that usual means that there is a harmful exclusion of someone else. So he says yes to the Sabbath and yes to this disruptive healing need. And in the scripture, we hear the arguments of the community, the rebuttal of Jesus, and the rejoicing of the bodies, but we never actually hear from the woman. She doesn't get a voice in our scripture during her pain or after her healing. We never get to hear what her life has been like. We have told she has suffered for 18 years in body, mind, and soul. I don't know what kinds of suffering this community here has seen. I don't know what suffering in your own body, mind, and soul you may have had to endure, or for how long, or if healing is even a possibility. I don't know what kind of unbearable things you have had to carry for 1 or 10 or 18 years. But I do know we can probably each point to that pain somewhere in our lives where our suffering felt unseen or even neglected by the world around us. And I know we could probably describe the sweetness and healing relief when someone decided to disrupt the isolation we were in and bear witness to that pain, bear witness to what we were going through, to really see you and see your hurt that was unbearable in a way that then it felt unbearable to them too. Or maybe we were in the position of ignorance, of letting someone else's suffering just exist and go by as usual, even though we could help, and a Christ-like presence came in and called attention to it and showed you a way to be different. Can't we all think of moments in our lives where there have been healing disruptions? Healing disruptions, both biblical and present day, restore us to the knowing that God made us to have, the knowing that we are connected as the body of Christ, as the family of humanity in both our joys and our pains. We are, in a core truth, interdependent beings. So I just moved to a new city. I moved to Albany, California. It's very tiny, and it takes its city government very seriously. They have a fabulous, interactive, and amazing website, and I was tooling around on it the other week, and I found a tab on the forms section that said, make a report. And I figured that if I clicked the link, it would bring me to the police station or the fire department, something like that. And instead, when I clicked the link, it brought me to a form, and it said it was created by the Act of Kindness Task Force of the City of Albany, where you could report a date, time, and description of somebody who had committed an act of kindness. So instead of a gesture of policing or reporting, the city I'm all of a sudden in is much more interested in the ways that everyday people in our community are doing extraordinary acts of kindness and healing. And then they share them and they send them out in a weekly announcement. And so seeing this kind of miraculous, hilarious city form made me think of all the little disruptive acts of kindness and care that I had seen in that week. And being who I am, I was like, okay, I'm going to report these. So I wrote in the form, I said, I'd like to give an eyewitness account of the older ladies of my YMCA dance class who said, when we immigrated here, we felt the pain of this country's racism and feared for our kids. They said, this week that's full of so much violence, let's feed each other. And they brought pears from the backyard tree, bread freshly baked, and one even brought her grandmother's soup recipe. And one of them said, let's be our sweetness in a world that isn't. I said, I'd like to report the two tweens at the table next to me yesterday. I overheard them vow to eat everything they wanted together, in spite of parents who were harassing them about calorie counts. One said to the other, we are hungry and we are beautiful. I said, I'd like to report the librarian at the library down the block from me who built a whole display table of LGBT books right after the Orlando murders. I said, I'd like to report my neighbor, Judith, who was with her dog in the laundromat early Saturday morning. And when she finished folding her laundry, she just walked over and helped me fold mine without a word. I said, I'd like to file a claim about my friend at the corner store. He always shares his snacks with children. He loves to have his brother FaceTime from Yemen so we can talk about religions and soccer matches and homework. I said, I'd like to witness that family wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts together everywhere. I'd like to talk about the church's sanctuary movement. I'd like to make a statement about the trans women in my life, one who has a patch that says transgender and sacred. I'd like to report the tiny seed of hope in us, somewhere dormant or blooming, but it's there nonetheless. I'd like to report the prayers that pass through our lips, at an altar, on a rug, holding hands. I'd like to file a report of these kindnesses and connections and healing disruptions in a world full of division and suffering. I have no idea what they thought of those reports, but I sent them along. Our world and the presence of Christ is full of healing disruptions. If we are watchful for them, if we choose to be them, they charge us and compel us with the responsibility to care for one another in community, to care for the familiar and the stranger, the thirsty and the hungry, the prisoner and the free, the joyful and the mourning. We in the UCC, we say, be the church. Church itself is an act of healing and disruption. We gather every week to sing and pray, to stop the noise of our lives and the world and get filled with the noise of God. We gather each week to witness one another, to Sabbath, to share, to bear the unbearable together, to spiritually eat from the open table of Christ, nourished by the power of resurrection life. And we are restored and transformed and sent with a contagious love, a love that empowers us beyond the doors to be the church, to be a healing disruption in whatever form the Holy Spirit moves us. Let us rejoice today in that with one another and with Christ as they did in the scripture. Let us rejoice at all the wonderful things that come from disruption that can lead to healing done for us or by us. Let us rejoice at holy connections and the miracles that are possible. And let us say amen.